to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Welcome to the Parent Show. It's Thursday night. It's that time of the week when you can settle down. The kids are in bed, brackets, hopefully. And joined in the studio tonight, it's me, Cathy Weston.
And it's me, Shirley Heyman.
So thank you for joining us. As usual, we've got a very interesting show tonight. We are talking about school governance. If you don't know what that means, well, we're talking about, you know, those people who seem to run our schools and you hear about them and your friend might be a school governor. We all seem to know one. I certainly do know a couple. There are 300,000 school governors in the country. So lots of them. We know they exist. They are actually, Shirley, did you know, the largest volunteer force in the country?
Well, no, I didn't. Not till we started researching it this week.
It's amazing,
isn't
it?
It is amazing, isn't it?
So a very, you know, significant part of the voluntary force are involved in school governance. The governing body of a school has three key roles: the strategic, the critical friend of that of ensuring accountability. But, well, really, we as parents, we want to understand a little bit more about school governors. What do they actually do? How do we know they're doing a good job? I think from researching this show, Shirley, you and I have realised they're quite a powerful position, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah.
And we want to know, well, how do we know as parents they're the right people to be in that job? What does good governance look like? And we're going to be helped through that discussion with Leslie, who's here this evening, who's been a parent governor since 07. Hello, Leslie.
Hello, good evening.
How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you for joining us tonight.
You're very welcome.
Now, Leslie, you have been a parent governor since 07, and in the last few years you've taken on the role of the deputy chair of governors to a very large secondary school in the county.
That's right.
And I think you've got a son who's in his sixth form.
He's now in the sixth form, yes.
And so tell us a little bit about why you volunteered to become a parent governor.
It sort of happened by accident. I went to the open evening on the transition from year six to year seven, and there was a vacancy within the school for a parent governor. And the head said, would anybody like to be a parent governor? So somehow my hand went up. I'd already been involved with my son as primary school, and I thought it would be something I'd like to give a try, although I really had no idea what it involved.
And what did your son think about that then, Leslie?
He looked a bit nonplussed to start with. My mum sort of stepping out of line and showing him up.
Yeah.
But now he seems to be quite okay with the fact that I do it. And when my first 4-year term came up, he actually wanted me to stand again.
So, you know, I know that, you know, you're not in education, are you, for your profession? You're in business, or
yes,
you haven't. You've been a full-time mum. How do you know what you're supposed to be doing? You know, how do you know how schools work? Have you been trained to be a governor?
To start with, I didn't really know anything at all. We have a very good chair of governors and a very good head who have helped to guide me through. Hearts County Council governance actually do lots of training. So it's a question of actually putting yourself forward, getting out there and doing the training on all sorts of different subjects. There's dozens of training courses running.
So what was your most recent one, do you think, that you did?
My most recent one actually was the child protection course, which all governors are supposed to do.
Right.
Obviously, it's a really good idea to have an overview of that when you're dealing with a school where the key part of any school is the students.
Yeah, of course.
And Leslie, that training is not statutory. It's voluntary.
It's voluntary. So I do as much as I can and I have time for. Something like I wanted to sit on the group of governors does the head's performance management. Well, I knew nothing about that, so I went on the training to be able to sit on that particular panel of governors. But no, it's not statutory, and some governors do no training at all.
So Leslie, let's get that clear. Not only are you a governor, but you're on committees as well within the governing body.
Yes.
How many committees are you on then?
I sit on four different committees.
Right, so you've got four committees.
Four committees.
Meetings,
plus,
yeah.
Yes, plus the full governing body. As vice chair, I think it's very important that I sit on all the committees. I have to confess, I know very little about finance, but I sit on the finance committee just to listen to what the people that know more about finance are actually doing, so that as a vice chair, if anything ever happened to our chair, I would have to step into that role.
Okay.
So it's important for me to have some idea of what's going on, even though numbers aren't really my thing.
So I saw a survey online yesterday, and it said the average amount of time a governor spends on governing business is about 4 to 6 hours a week. Do you think that's fair to say? Is that what you're doing?
I would say that's what I'm doing. Before committee meetings, to have an effective meeting, you need to have read all the papers first, so that you are actually in a position to put questions to the head about the running of the school and how the school is being improved. And if you haven't read the papers, you can't ask questions about something that is not totally natural and you're familiar with. You can't ask them on the hoof. You have to be prepared.
It sounds awful, that job.
It's a big commitment.
Mean, you don't get paid.
No.
There's a lot of time put into it. And I mean, you sound very conscientious. You know, if you don't understand something, you go and do a training course. I mean, it's not a job it sounds like I'd want to do. Why is it enjoyable to be at those meetings?
Yes, it is enjoyable, because you actually feel sometimes that you're making a difference, that you're actually helping to improve your child's school. So to be honest, I'm not sure if I would do it if I didn't have a child at the school, but you're actually I get a lot of satisfaction from going to those meetings and feeling that in some small way I've made a difference, not only for my child, but for all the children that are there as well.
So how do you know if you're doing a good job, if you are making a difference? Who tells you?
Well, as vice chair, hopefully from time to time, my chair or the head of the school will actually say, thank you very much. As vice chair, I will sometimes thank some of the other governors.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the main reason you know is through Ofsted.
I didn't know that, actually.
We get judged as part of Ofsted, along with the senior leadership team of the school.
Okay, so you are included in that inspection.
Oh, yes. And that's seriously scary.
I wasn't aware of that either. I mean, I knew the Ofsted chief was in the press this week saying that he was arguing lots of governors aren't really doing a good job and they should be paid. So he's caused quite a lot of controversy.
We have to have full minutes of our meetings. We have to review all the policies of the school. We have to show that we have questioned how the school is using those policies. There is a lot that Ofsted will look at in the minutes of our meetings to make sure that we are actually acting as critical friend and holding the school to accountability.
Have Ofsted always done that, or is this a new thing?
As far as I know, they've always done it. Certainly in the time that I've been doing it, they've always done it.
Okay. So when Ofsted would come to a school, they'd interview the Board of Governors?
It depends on the first time we had Ofsted in. I was interviewed. Three of us were interviewed. Last time, they just wanted to see the chair. So I don't think there's a set procedure for it.
So, you know, does one have to be quite wealthy to be a governor? Because I guess some people are going to do it, Leslie, that aren't working. You know, you're working, aren't you, as well?
I work, yes.
Yeah, part-time.
Yes.
So it's a big commitment, like Kathy says, isn't it?
You don't have to be wealthy in as much as it doesn't cost you to be anything to be a governor. So, you know, obviously ink for printing out documents, that sort of thing, traveling to your school. But I think you either have to be time wealthy or you have to be prepared to make the time. But in terms of normal wealth, no, you don't.
So you have people from reflecting all walks of life, do you, on your governing body?
Ideally, yes. You want people to bring different perspectives to it and different skills to it. So ideally, you have a big selection of people. And even if it's somebody whose opinion you don't agree with, their opinion is still valid and needs to be taken into account.
Leslie, can I just go back to the point you made about, you work?
Yes.
There's a wonderful website, the writer of which got in touch with us today. It's called Clerk to Governors. And it's a clerktogovernors.wordpress.com. It's a big, massive information resource pack for governors. Okay. One of the things they mentioned was that they thought it was a good idea if the employers did pay you when you left work for meetings, you know, that you get recompensed by your employer to attend school governing meetings, because otherwise it's a bit unfair, isn't it?
Well, at the moment, of employers should allow you time, a reasonable amount of time off work in order to attend governing meetings. And I think that's probably realistically as much as you're going to get, that they will actually allow you out. In reality, a lot of governors don't actually like to ask for time off because they're concerned about possibly losing their jobs if they take too much time off to be a governor.
Oh dear.
So we do have quite a large amount of people who are either retired, maybe stay-at-home parents, people who run their own businesses are quite heavily represented, and maybe people, sort of shift workers, police people and that kind of thing, who actually can attend meetings more easily. I think it's unlikely that employers are going to pay you to go. You're lucky if you actually get the time off.
So how do you get a meeting time that suits all these different, you know, these people with different patterns of work or not work?
It's very difficult because obviously you've also got every committee is in our school. We have a member of the senior leadership team of the school sits on the committee. So you can't really have them during the school day because they're obviously doing their normal school duties during the school day. So we tend to sort of have it early evening, hopefully sort of 5:30-ish, hopefully when people have just about finished work and
right.
You can catch as many people who actually work as possible. But we did have one governor recently who just couldn't make the 5:30 times, which suited the vast majority. And unfortunately, in the end, she had to make the decision to leave the governing body, which was sad because she had a lot to offer. But we couldn't get a time to suit everybody.
So can you ask somebody to leave? You know, can you sort of unelect someone if they're not doing the job that you'd hope they were doing?
I don't believe so. The main reason that you can actually get rid of a governor is for non-attendance. So if they continually don't turn up and they don't actually have a reasonable excuse, I believe if they haven't turned up for 3 full but governing body meetings without you agreeing it, then actually you can sort of speak to them. I mean, I did this a little while ago. I actually rang them up and sort of politely said, you haven't come. Do you still wish to continue on the governing body?
Right.
And it was agreed amicably that perhaps that wasn't the right thing to do. But generally speaking, unless there was some sort of gross misconduct, whether it been a conflict of interest or something, people don't actually, you don't get rid of governors. They have 4-year terms and you can decide at the end of the 4-year term whether you wish to re-elect them.
Okay. And you're in your second term now.
I'm
that's
in my
right.
second term, yes.
So two more years.
Yes. And there's quite a few stories in the press about governors being a bit naughty and spending money and where they shouldn't. And, you know, there's lots of examples of poor governance if you look for them. But I think I was amazed to see that there's actually a sort of an award ceremony for outstanding governance, which is very exciting, run by the National Governors Association. Are you aware of that organisation?
I'm aware of the National Governors Association. I had no idea they did an award ceremony for such a thing.
So I thought it was very interesting to look at who had actually won, you know, their outstanding governing body awards.
Okay.
And the reason why they've given out these, one of them was Palgrave Primary School. They won 2 small village schools, but both schools previously had significant weaknesses, but standards had improved considerably. You know, the governors were described as being strong, well-informed and exceptionally well-organised, whose best practice is shared with other schools and the local authority. Mm. It's just interesting to see what they value. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely. And sharing of best practice is a really, really useful way forward, because even though every school is different, there are certain things that can be transferred.
And also you mentioned performance management. I mean, goodness knows, in all of our jobs, we've come across those terms. But I think they value, a lot of the award winners had monitored data, challenged outcomes, and the rate of student progress had significantly improved. So, and governors describe themselves as big strategic thinkers, you know, that they're really engaged in the school. They have vision. They're monitoring things the way they should. It's quite interesting, isn't it?
It's incredibly interesting, and it's a really, really steep learning curve when you first start to actually get up to speed with all of that. But you know, if you can be effective at that, you can really start to feel that your school is changing around you, and that you're actually starting to make a difference for those children within your school.
And what would you say are the things you're most proud of as a governor? Go on, tell us something you've achieved in school that you're quite proud of, do you think?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Oh dear, that's a really hard one. I never normally think of it in those terms. I think the fact I mean, I like to be able to walk into school and walk around and see the children having a good experience. So as governors, you know, we're allowed to go in, we can make visits, we visit faculties. And I like to actually go maybe at change of lesson time and seeing those students walking around, chatting to one another and being happy and just making that school a nice environment where the students want to be, I think would makes me proud.
And it's not always an easy job, is it? Because Shirley and I were saying, you know, if you're a governor or the chair of governors, you've got some negotiating and difficult conversations to have, don't you, when it comes to pupil exclusion or what else, telling the head teacher she's not doing a good job or whatever else it might be.
Yes, I mean, you mentioned pupil exclusion there, and that is probably the worst aspect of the job. So it's happening less and less because schools generally are getting better at not permanently excluding pupils. They're taking action before that happens to find some other way to help that child. But sitting on exclusion panels and deciding whether or not to uphold the head's decision to permanently exclude a child, reading the information about that child, their background and why that exclusion has taken place can be very distressing. And it's probably the worst aspect of the job. You have to do it, it's part of the job, but yes, it's not pleasant.
Well, I'm just feeling relieved that there's other people doing this job at this point. Shirley, what do you think?
I think she sounds like a superstar, don't you?
So do I.
I mean, is that hard then, Leslie, when you go home? Because sometimes after a meeting, you must be having stuff running around in your head, but you're not able to share it, I guess, with your husband, or obviously not with your son.
Definitely not with my son, no.
No.
It is hard. You have to learn to... The first few times that happened, well, the first couple of times that happened, I was quite... I have to be honest, I was quite distressed when I came out of those meetings. But you have to learn to be a bit dispassionate about it, that it's part of the job. And that you know that although it's not good that the child has been permanently excluded, there are other agencies that are going to pick them up and they will hopefully then get the help that they so desperately need. So I think I've sort of come to terms with it in that way.
92.6 FM.
Welcome back to the Parent Show. Now, we're hoping to have James Brown on the line. Are you there, James?
Hello, yes, I am.
Thank you for joining us. We're talking about school governance tonight. And James, you, as well as Leslie, our other guest in the studio tonight, have plenty of experience. I think you've been a governor for 12 years.
Yes, that's right. I've been a governor since the year 2000, yes.
And you're also current secretary of the Hertfordshire Association of School Governors.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's an organisation run by governors with the aim of acting as an independent voice in Hertfordshire.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And you also work closely with the school. I didn't know this department existed till this week, so it's very exciting to find out that the County Council has a school governance department with the purpose of informing, training and supporting school governors in Hertfordshire.
Yes, they're very good in Hertfordshire, yes.
Brilliant. So we've been talking tonight, before you came on, James, just about what it's like to be a school governor, parent governor in Leslie's case.
Yes.
And we're sort of interested in exploring a little bit more about how school governance works. Could you give us a little synopsis of how it operates, especially across different schools?
Right, yes. Well, there's a number of different types of school. All state school, that is, and there, I think the school I work in is a cube called the community school, where the local authority is the employer and they own the building. But then you can have another type of school called a voluntary aided school, where they're like church schools, where in fact actually the church is the employer and they actually own the building. So. And there's other types of school, foundation schools, and of course academies, a new type of school where the governing bodies are all sort of structured slightly differently. But I think in nearly all the cases, actually one third of the governors are parent governors. But like in the case of a church school, they would all or a foundation school, that organisation would always have a controlling interest, so to speak, in the governing body, so they can keep the characters they have a church school. alive, so they can't be outvoted, so to speak.
And so that would be one of the values. Yeah. Yes. So if your child, say, if you're listening and your child's going to a free school or a school within a religious denomination attached to it, those governors leading those school governing bodies would have a particular ethos and to sort of uphold, if you like.
Well, certainly a proportion of them would, and they normally have to have a controlling interest. They can't be outvoted if they all vote together.
And James, you're not a parent, but you're a community governor. What was your motivation to get involved in something that sounds like quite a tough job?
Well, I originally had no thought of about being a school governor until one day a friend of mine who was then the chair of governors at a local primary school where his children were said to me, "I know you're good with figures. We need someone who's prepared to look at the finances of our school. Would you come along and sit on the finance committee?" And I said, "Well, I'll come and have a look." And then, so I went along and got involved. And a couple of years later, he moved, and I was, when the music stopped, so to speak, I was asked to be chair at that school, and I have been since 2002.
And like Leslie, James, do you enjoy the role?
Yes, I do. Yes, it's very challenging. Leslie's explained many of the sort of the challenges and the roles of governors very ably. I find it very rewarding, but very challenging. The school I've been in has had difficulties over the years. We had very difficulty appointing a permanent head teacher. And some ups and downs, and even recently we've had some ups and downs with difficulty, so a poor Ofsted result, and then we've had a much better one even in December. We have a new head teacher and senior leadership team, and they've started to produce a huge improvement in the way the school is running, as acknowledged by Ofsted. So that's been a sort of it can be quite challenging at times. As Leslie said, Ofsted is an Ofsted inspection is very worrying time, so to speak, for the whole school community you're in.
Yeah, yeah. Hi, James. It's Shirley speaking to you. Thanks so much for coming on. I mean, what sort of advice do you have for people then who are not parents but would maybe think about becoming school governors?
Well, I would, if you have some time and you have available to you, I would urge you to get involved. I mean, the government in particular is looking to raise the standard in school governance by looking to try and encourage professional people and business people to give more time to. So there is time into schools in order to sort of raise the average or the standard and bring in those skills from outside. I mean, every school is a sort of business, and large secondary schools are sort of can have turnovers of £10 million. So they're not small. They're not necessarily small businesses. Even a medium-sized primary school like the one I have has a budget of well over £1 million.
Wow. So have you learned any new skills, do you think, in the time that you've been doing it?
Enormous quantities of skills. I mean, one of the roles of governors is to appoint the head teacher. That's probably the most important role they have, to try and appoint a good head teacher. And the whole issue, before I became a school governor, I had never been deeply involved in the whole recruitment processing. So and all the issues around employment. And I, through training and involvement, I've learned an awful lot about that side of things.
Yeah, I can imagine. So do any of the skills that you've learnt from being in the governing body help you in your professional life outside of that body?
Yeah. A school is a business. It employs people. It has to deal with health and safety. It has to deal with the whole premises issues. It has to deal with there's a aside from the whole issue of the important issue of educating the children. So every aspect of a business, sort of a school can give you experience of, let alone the educational issues, which obviously it's all centred around, but. bringing an environment where learning is the primary objective, but there's so much else that goes on in order to get to that that aim.
And James, we've mentioned Ofsted tonight. Now, I work in a school of education where teachers are trained, and I know that Ofsted is you know, it's something that the teachers certainly think about a lot, Ofsted inspections and the pressure of, you know, the demands on staff in schools. Now, this week, I think it was, or maybe a few weeks ago, Michael Wilshaw, you know, the Ofsted's chief inspector.
Yes.
He's come into the fore. He seems to be quite, he was quite critical of school governors, and said that he thought many of them were sort of interested in marginal matters. They weren't demonstrating effective leadership. I'll bring Leslie in here as well. What was the response among school governors to what he actually said?
I can only really speak for myself here, because I thought we haven't done any sort of polling of school governors personally, but he has a point to a certain extent. But we have to remember that the agendas change, because I believe he was referring to talking about food and or some issue that he called peripheral. And it wasn't so long ago that the whole issue of healthy eating and healthy lifestyles was very prominent in the press, and schools were given responsibility by the government over for healthy eating.
Yeah,
you only sort of the wind changes and a new government comes in, and they sort of decide that that's more peripheral, and you should be, or probably rightly, the issues like the quality of teaching and the standards, sort of he's looking to spend our time discussing, so change is so quick with education. Every government has its different views. Every new Ofsted inspector. Chief inspector comes in. I mean, the regime of which schools have been inspected against sort of changes every 18 months. So you can go between two different Ofsted inspectors. Every Ofsted inspection is a completely new framework about which you're being inspected against.
That's right.
So it's very easy for governors and governing bodies to be sort of a little behind, because you're having to run to catch up all the time. Because the agenda is moving on and changing.
I mean, you know, hearing both you and Leslie talk, I'm just sort of so grateful that people like you are willing to go out there and do it. You're doing it free. You're giving up your time. I guess you're sometimes missing out on things in the family or in your friendship groups because you're working on this. What's your thoughts about that, Leslie? You know, do you feel a little bit offended when you're hearing comments like that from, you know, the Ofsted chief saying he wants more professional people in leadership in governance?
I think actually I'd echo a lot of what James said and agree with him, where he said there is some element of truth in what he says. So there are some governors and some governing bodies out there that perhaps aren't as professional as we would like them to be, but that's largely through lack of training and education. I think it's really, really helpful, as with any organisation, to have a good person at the top. So if you have an effective chair of governors, he can actually control and direct the sort of topics you might be discussing in conjunction with the head, rather than actually going off at a tangent and talking about, I don't know, what colour the school shoes should be for half an hour at a full governing body meeting, which can happen, and you can get distracted. So it's, if you've got good leadership, then I think it's probably an unfair criticism. But obviously, there are many, many governors out there and many governing bodies, and some of them will be better than others.
James, can I ask both of you as well? We learned today that there's a very good initiative, a programme run by the National College. It's a National Leadership of Governance programme, and it's going to accredit the top experienced chairs of governors and encourage them to support other governing bodies. I don't know what your thoughts were on that, but also a suggestion put through to us today was perhaps that within a year of becoming a new governor, they should complete a light exam. What do you think about that?
Well, all governors are encouraged to attend particularly induction training. And that certainly is available in Hertfordshire through the Hertfordshire County Council Governors Department, the training. Although all training is paid for by the schools, it's provided to the council. Whether or not there should be exam or not, I'm not sure. I have had to do one exam as a school governor. That was to do with the safer recruitment training, which is mandatory for someone on every appointments panel in a school to have done this particular training, and it does. You get a certificate if you pass the exam. But whether or not you should have to do an exam is quite difficult, because obviously, if you're an elected post, most parent governors are elected. Do they make politicians have exams after they in post for a year? I don't know.
I mean, are we okay in Hertfordshire? Are governors in Hertfordshire generally well-trained, receive induction training? I mean, I know it is patchy across the country.
Well, induction training is available to all governors. I did hear a statistic very recently that on average, governors in Hertfordshire attend 1.3 training courses per year each, whereas the national average is something like 0.7. So I think we're probably better trained in Hertfordshire. But it might be because of the availability of the training. Hertfordshire is quite, as it were, historically, it was quite a large local authority and had a critical mass in its ability to sort of have services for governors. And it does appear to be one of the better authorities in the country for providing training and supporting governors in general.
And James, what would your view be? We've talked about training, but what can we do to improve existing practice amongst governors? What would you and Leslie suggest would be the way forward?
I think probably some more structured training. It's advised that every governor has induction training, but it probably would be better if there was a sort of a more structured approach to continual updating and training, and so people signing up to that as part of their sort of becoming a governor, because it is possible just to attend meetings and do very little, and sort of to act in a position of sort of just because you want to be interested in what's going on and not contribute enormously. Or conversely, there's people who spend hours and hours of their own time working to support the senior leadership team, and in some cases doing some of the sort of the more supporting them by sort of like making sure all the policies are up to date, which is sort of can be a very time-consuming issue, particularly as...
I'm just going to bring Leslie in here. Would you agree with that, Leslie?
I would agree with that. I think it's important for governors, as part of agreeing to come on to the governing body, that they actually do agree to attend training. I think sometimes chairs of governors can actually help that process by actually organising training within the school. So not only can you go out to training, but you can actually governance will actually come and do training at your school. So if your chair of governors is organising at your school, perhaps people will be more likely to attend. So a planned programme of training that a sort of a rolling programme would actually be a really good idea.
Leslie, are there any perks to being a governor? Apart from obviously the ones you've talked about, but you said to me you could claim expenses for travel, but you choose not to. You could claim expenses for ink, but you're great and you don't. So, do you get to sit in the front row at the school show, or is there anything that, you get treated a little bit differently?
At our school, not.
Right.
I've never asked for any perks, and I've never received any perks. I think the only thing in terms of being a parent governor is that you actually get to know the workings of the school. You do get to know a lot of the members of staff. So not that you would ever get special treatment for your child, but it helps to know the systems. It helps to know the people. And I think it helps sometimes for them to know that you're a supportive parent. But there's no actual perks.
I mean,
we have tea and biscuits when we have our full governing body meetings, and that's nice. But that's about as far as
chocolate
it goes.
Chocolate biscuits, brilliant. I think something
something Shirley actually drew my attention to today is that I don't think parents think too much about the relationship between school governance and pupil attainment. But Shirley found a lovely report, was it in 2008?
Yeah.
The link between school governance and pupil attainment at primary level.
Especially at primary level, that's right, that they feel there is, you know, a link, Kathy. So if you've got a good, strong governing body, that they can see that the attainment for the pupil in those schools definitely goes up. You know, over a period of time.
By such a large voluntary force, it really doesn't get a lot of affirmation or praise from us parents.
That's right.
So well done, James, and well done, Leslie, and thank you for doing a brilliant job for us.
Yeah,
just
thank
on
you.
A very last point, I'd quite like to flag up some very important resources for any parents who are listening and are governors. James, you very kindly directed me to the one-stop shop for governors?
The school governors one-stop shop. It's a government organisation for recruiting governors, but obviously it has lots of information about being a governor and what it means to be a governor. And also the Department of Education website has a governance section which explains a lot about what it is to be a governor, as does the Harts Direct, which is the Hertfordshire County Council website, and also the organisation that I am part of, the Hertfordshire Association of School Governors, heartsgovernors.org, certainly has links to various resources that for school governors, and I'm sure there are many other websites. Obviously, there's the National Governors Association website as well, which has lots of information.
Well, we're going to put them up on our Facebook page for anyone who's interested. Another great blog, which seems to be very popular in supporting school governors in the UK, it's called Clerk to Governors, C-L-E-R-K, Clerk to Governors. It's www.clerktogovernors, all one word, .wordpress.com. It's full of information and lovely simple explanations of what a glossary of terms, a guide to the law, just useful links, recent articles, training. So it's lots of resources there that we'll try and collate together on our Facebook page tonight. Thanks so much for joining us, James.
Thank you.
I will let you go.
Thank you.
And thanks also to Leslie.
92.6 FM.
I hope you've all enjoyed the Parents Show tonight. We have certainly been learning a lot, haven't we, Shirley?
Yeah, we have learned. I've learned so much. It's making me think, is it something that I really want to consider? I mean, Leslie, are there vacancies out there, do you think?
There are vacancies out there, definitely. It's worth, if you're a parent, obviously approaching your child's school, and if you're living in the local community, then go and approach your local primary school, your local secondary school, because you may well find they're just desperate for somebody.
And you were saying that, you know, you could go in if it really didn't work for you. Actually, you're a volunteer, so you can, in effect, say, I can't do this anymore.
Yes. I mean, certainly at our school, we do 4-year terms, and I think that's fairly standard. But if it doesn't work for you, if your circumstances change, if you get more responsibility at work or whatever happens, although it's quite hard for the school to get rid of you, you can actually resign at any time. So don't feel I'm signing up for 4 years and I can't walk away.
But why have you stayed on and you've done 6 personally so far?
So far, yes. Because I actually enjoy it. And to be honest, I find it quite addictive. So I want to carry on and I want to help the school to make the next step and then the next step and then the next step.
Okay.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant.
Well, we're delighted that you do it.
Yes.
Leave you me. I think it's just opened my eyes to, you know, the fact that I don't even know who the governors are at my child's school, which is a bit of a disgrace. You know, they've such an important job to do. And we parents need to take more of an interest in it, I think.
Yeah. I think that's true. But I also think that we are there as volunteers. We are in the background in that sense. As far as you're concerned, you want your child to go to a good school. And whilst we're there, hopefully doing a job to make that school a good school, you don't really, in a sense, you don't need to know who we are. We are volunteers and we are there in the background. Mm. The face of the school is the head and the staff.
Yeah.
But you're supporting them, aren't you?
So, oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but that's very humble of you to say that. So, but anyway, well done. You're doing a great job, I think.
Well done, Leslie.
Yeah.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.